But yeah, I've been at this church 23 years all my life, and I'm very thankful to this church for how it has grown me in my faith, in bringing me to the Lord first and foremost, and trusting in Him through so many different people in here, through different testimonies that I've heard over the years in my teenage years, and so much that's really grown me. But then as well, now in the later years after being a Christian, the impact of your influence to mature me and see how I need to endure in this fight. And as you'll see on the sheet, that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about some of the encouragements that I've received from you individually, but as well from the pulpit and through Bible studies and things like that, that I've received from you guys and this church that have encouraged me to endure in the faith and to remain in Christ. And I want to give those encouragements back and in a way say thank you for giving me this over the years that I've been here. And by saying thank you, I want to give that back to you now in a small way of saying that. I normally would go through a passage, but this afternoon is going to be a bit more random, so I'm sorry for that. Normally I just go through a chunk of verses, but we'll sort of stick toward the end of Hebrews, but we might jump around a little bit. But I'm sorry for that if it is a bit messy. But there's just a few things that I'd really love to share. But we are going to be in Hebrews, and the letter to the Hebrews is written to Christians to help them endure, to help them persevere. And the first sort of 10 chapters has been going through a lot about Christ and how great He is, greater than all these other things, greater than angels, greater than Moses. And we've seen that, and then we see He's a high priest. We see His sacrifice, the redemption He brings, all of this good stuff that is in Christ. And then from sort of chapter 10, 19, where we'll pick up, we start seeing some of the encouragement of how we should endure because of all of this. And that's what I wanted to pick up. And in the sermon, I've got sort of three purposes. I want us to remember how we should live for Christ. I want us to remember how we should live for Christ if we remain in Him, if we abide in Christ, if we remain in Christ. I want us to remind us of how we should be living. And then secondly, I want us to see, and hopefully these points will help us and encourage us to endure. That's what I long for you as a church. I long for you as a church to endure in the faith. I've grown a great love for all of you over the years that I've been here, and my longing is that you will all endure to the end, that you will fight the good fight. And for those who haven't yet submitted to Christ, my longing is that you will as well turn to Him as your Lord and Saviour. But for those that have, I long to see you all one day in heaven and for you to endure to the end. So that's why I preach this sermon, and that's one of the purposes in this sermon, because that's my desire for you. And then thirdly as well, Todd asked if I could tie in Thanksgiving, that would be good. And I think as we go through these things and the ways to help us endure and how we should remain in Christ, I think we'll see that this will bring glory to God and give Him thanksgiving through our lives. And hopefully it can be a bit indirect about thanksgiving, but really if we live like this and endure to the end, it will bring great glory to God and give Him thanksgiving. So it does tie in a bit there, Todd, just so you know. Todd said it didn't have to, and by any means, but I just thought it would. But yeah, let's just pray before we get into it, and pray that God would achieve this through His word. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for how it has been a blessing to many of us here through our lives, that you have used it to wound us and open us and help us to see what we're like, help us to see the needy people that we are, and that it has made us ready to accept your salvation and to trust in you and what you have done on the cross. And we thank you for this church as well, a church that has been grounded on the truth, grounded on your word again and again, and has had a focus there and not being swayed by the many other things that the world can tempt us to focus on, but the word has been the foundation here, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the impact it has had on all of our lives because of that. And we just pray this afternoon that your word would continue to be the foundation for our lives, and that it would help us to learn how we can endure for you and to give us the encouragement that we need through the trials and the struggles that we face. And we just pray that, yeah, this afternoon would be for your glory and would bring honour to you. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Here in this passage is a warning to not be someone like that, to not be someone like this, to not end up like that on the day we come before Christ. And there's a lot of warnings throughout the Bible like this, to not end up like someone who's done so many good things but really had no foundation, no foundation in Christ and no purpose. And the Bible gives us so many warnings. It shows us different people like Demas who didn't persevere to the end. People like Demas who didn't persevere to the end, and then others who do. Paul, through so many trials, perseveres to the end. And the Bible shows us this, and it gives us warning and passages like this to show us to not be a person like that, to not be a person that doesn't endure and last and remain. And as well, we see in this, and I think in this passage too, we need to not be people that do things aimlessly. I know I can get up too often in my day without an aim, without a purpose. But as Christians, we have been given a purpose. We have been given a purpose because we are God's. We are made by him, first and foremost, but then saved by him. And that means we're not our own. We're his. And we're to please him. It says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, it says, our aim is to please God. And we need to have that every day. We need to have that every day if we are to endure. Otherwise, we will get caught by the world. But as we go through, we'll get into the points and we'll hopefully look at some of the passages that I had in mind. But I've tried to label them in a way that will help you remember, because it helps me. Just as I'm preparing a sermon, I like to help it to remember, for me to remember, and I can think through it through the day as I go to college, driving or whatever. So hopefully it can help you remember some of these points. And as I said at the beginning, these different things that we'll go through have been foundations for me that you have taught me, people here have taught me, and other people in my life to help me endure and to help me continue through the many trials we all face. And I hope as we go through these points, they will help you as well. But in case you haven't noticed on the handout, each point starts with a letter from the word remain. So maybe it might lock in your head and we can remember some of these things. The first one you'll see on your sheet is to rely on God. So I want us to look at how can we remain in Christ so that we do endure to the end, that we do please him. And the first one, the most important thing, is that we rely on God. That we rely on God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we'll see most of these things. But if we want to endure to the end, if we want to remain and we want to please God, we need to rely on him. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, those verses there, he's really summarizing what he's just said. If you know the book of Hebrews, he's summarizing what he's just said in the last chapters. He then goes on to say, after seeing what we have in Christ, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Through the whole letter, he's just shown the beauty of Christ, how great he is, and here we get the challenge to hold fast to those promises, to hold fast to Christ, to rely on God. We need to rely on God. And there's a lot we could say here, but I first want to say that I think the church, that you have been a church that has taught me to rely on God, and we rely on God through his word, and you've been a church that's taught me that, to rely on that foundation. And that's where we read his promises. That's where we learn his promises to hold fast to. It's in his word. And I thank you for, as a church, you have been faithful in that. And I want to give an encouragement to for you as individuals to continue in that, to hold fast to that promise, those promises that you receive every week. But as well, a challenge to not always be reliant on others. Be sure that you are gaining and looking into those promises for yourself. That you yourself are digging into God's word and growing a love for those promises, because that's when you'll hold tight to them, when you see them for yourself as well. Don't always be relying on others and just hearing it from others, but I encourage you all to continue to look into the Bible for yourself. It's so important, and for me, the past few years, the people that have encouraged me to do that, I've seen that grow me the most. Bible college was it was a great experience. There was so much it gave me, but I think my time in the Word on my own has given me the foundations I need to endure. And it's given me a hope in the promises of God. And you see it throughout the whole Bible as well. So I encourage you as well, read the whole Bible too. I know I used to sort of just pick out the New Testament and want to read some of those key passages that I love. But the promises of God are through the whole Bible. And I encourage us to read the whole Bible so that we can rely on God and rely on his promises. There was something else I wanted to say here as well, but we might come back to it. But as we go on in this passage, we go to verse 24, and then after just laying out the need to hold fast to God's promises, to hold fast in faith, it goes on and it says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works," in verse 24. And then verse 25, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I think this here hits the second point, where we need to be encouraging each other. The passage, it says we need to stir each other up to love and good deeds, and we need to be doing that in our lives. And that's something that I have been challenged by, but I have been helped by through you as a church. Being encouraged every day, not just on a Sunday when we meet together, but throughout the week as well. It's so important that we have that encouragement. And we see it in this passage. Here it says, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're entering into a tough time. The end is coming, and it is going to be a tough time. The Bible shows that. And what we need to get through that and to endure and persevere is one another. And it's such a blessing that we, I think as a church, can see we're a family. And we've seen that from the Thanksgivings, that we are a family and we're here for one another. And we need to remind ourselves that we are here for one another and we need to stir each other up. And that means coming alongside each other, having each other into your homes, having small groups where you can share God's word. But then as well, not just meeting together, not just catching up, but it's encouraging one another and stirring each other up to love and good deeds. And how's that going to happen? How will we do that? Well, I think we've seen the answer in the point before. It's by reminding each other of the promises of God. We need to do that. And to be reminding each other of the promises of God goes back to our next point. I think we need to really be in his word. We need to be reminded that we need to be in his word every day. Otherwise, how can we remind people of his promises? What hope do we have to give to others if we aren't in it, knowing it and learning it ourselves? And a challenge for me as I was thinking about this, and I heard from someone as well, was when we do learn something that we're blessed by, a promise, we need to share it with others. We need to stir others up to love and good deeds. We need to share that with others. And that was a challenge for me. We can learn so much. I've learned so much at times, but I don't share it all the time with others. But that's a good gift that I've been given. I need to give that to others. And you need to do that. You need to be in God's word daily, so you're ready to stir one another up to love and good deeds, and you're ready to encourage each other. Not just meeting together, but ready to encourage each other. There's another passage in Hebrews. It says in chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, it says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Exhort one another every day that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encouraging one another, exhorting one another, being alongside each one another is so important. It's so important. And as well, it says at the first part of chapter 3, verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any one of you an unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." And what's going to remedy that? What's going to stop us from falling away from the living God? Well, exhort one another every day, verse 13 says. This is so important for us, and that's what's helped me. It's great we get together once a week, definitely on a Sunday, but I found the weeks that are most blessed and the most where I pursue Christ more is when I have people throughout the week meeting with me, Christians encouraging me through that week. We need that. Keep that up. I know many of you do, but keep it up and do it more. This will help us endure to the end. This will help us remain in Christ and live to please him. And as well, I think we need to realize back in chapter 10, it says, stir each other up to love and good deeds, means that don't just have that mentality, which I can sometimes have, oh, I need to do that for everyone else. I need to stir them up for love and good deeds. I need to do that for that person. I can say they need that. I see they need that. I better give that to them. I better encourage them. But realize you need that. I need that as well. Doesn't matter if we're a deacon, youth pastor, an elder, been a Christian for 50 years, we need stirring up to love and good deeds. And if you get the mentality that you don't need it, well, that's when you won't endure to the end. So we all need that. Okay, moving. The next one is make disciples. And the next bit, it's a bit different, but from some other passages as well, we see this more clearly. But I think in the next part of Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 26, it says if we keep sinning deliberately, we aren't saved from our sin. And then in verse 27, we see that the judgment is waiting. And then eventually in verse 30 to 31, it concludes with that God will judge, and it's a fearful thing to be in his hands. And here I think the author's urging for endurance through this and showing that the stakes for not enduring are very high. The stakes for not enduring are high. But as well, I think this should remind us here that we need to teach each other and others to be disciples, to obey. You see, the problem here is they go on sinning deliberately after receiving a knowledge of the truth, and then there no longer remains a sacrifice for their sin. In verse 26, we see that if there was discipling and teaching one another to obey, this shouldn't happen. And I think we can see here, we need to make disciples. Like in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, it says, we need to be making disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. And we need to be doing that to one another, but as well to many out there that need it. There's so many out there as well, not in this church or not nearby, but many that are in need of that, need to be formed into disciples. And another verse that I love as well to do with this is in Colossians 1:28. We went through it in the youth group. But it was about just seeing Paul's desire, his desire to make everyone mature in Christ. And that needs to be our desire as well. And for me, I found that when I have that desire, when I have the desire to make people mature in Christ, and as well to evangelize, and when I go out and do that, it actually grows me and teaches me more than the people I'm probably trying to teach. It grows me a lot. Sometimes I've been able to go out a couple of times with Shane and some of the guys, and I find I learn so much more than I'm probably teaching anyone there. And I find it as well when I'm even teaching and preaching, that happens to me. I learn so much more. But as well with evangelizing, making disciples, it's actually going to grow us. And that will help us to remain in Christ. And that will help us grow. And something I found helpful to know and make sure we are discipling, one of my college lecturers, I thought he put it well. He said that we need to all need to have, I've shared this with Ed, we need to have a Paul, a Barnabas and a Timothy in our life. We need to have a Paul, someone over us, someone discipling us, someone who takes care of us, disciples us, someone we look up to. We also need a Barnabas, someone alongside us, a friend, someone that we can talk to and open up with. But then as well, we need a Timothy, someone we are discipling. And we all need that in our lives. We see so much in the New Testament, the older women discipling and encouraging the younger women. And we see this principle throughout the New Testament, make disciples. So if you want to endure and remain, then make disciples. But as well, if you want others to endure and remain, make disciples. It's so important, and it will grow you. It's not just going to grow the people that you're helping, but it will grow you. So I ask you, do you have anyone you're discipling or being discipled by? I ask that to myself too. I can neglect that often. But are we being discipled, and are we discipling others? It will help you endure, and it will help others endure as well. And the fourth one on there, we'll keep moving. Tell me if you need to get up and stretch. We can. No? Okay. The fourth one on there is, I think to help us remain and endure, we need to accept the hardship and the suffering and the discipline that will come. Turn across to Hebrews chapter 12. I won't read all of it. It talks about the importance of discipline, and then particularly in verse, we'll just read verses 10 to 11. It summarizes it well. It says, it's talking about in verse, I will read from verse Verse 7, it will help us make sense of it all. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, our earthly parents. But God, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We need to see that discipline is for our good. Romans 8:28 as well, all things work together for our good. And this will help us to accept the hardships and the discipline that the Lord brings in our life. And if we have that mentality, it will help us endure and remain. Because it's in the hardships and the tough times and the trials that we face that we'll be tested. And it's those times that many will turn away from God. But if we accept the suffering, accept the hardship, and know that it's for our good, we will be ready for it and we'll be able to endure through it. So be ready for suffering and hardship, and it will help you endure. And I think as well, then this brings us... and important in that is to know why we can endure is because those sufferings in this life, they're not ruining the eternal plan that God has. He's got an eternal plan to make all things new, to resurrect us, to share in eternity with him. And these sufferings here, these momentary afflictions, aren't worth comparing to the weight of glory that we will receive. And that brings us to our next point. If we understand that, have that mentality that sufferings here are nothing in compared to the weight of glory we will receive one day, it means we need to invest into eternity rather than in this life. We need to invest into eternity. A little while ago, I preached on Hebrews 10, the later part of Hebrews 10. We'll just read a couple of those verses in Hebrews 10:34. If you remember back then, it talked about people who joined with those who were suffering because of standing up for their faith, and people came alongside and joined with their brothers and sisters who were suffering. And verse 34 says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." We need to invest into eternity. We have a better possession and an abiding one. We have a great reward, verse 35 as well, and we will receive what is promised. We need to invest into eternity, not in this life. Something that helps me understand this is, I don't know who I heard it from or where, so I'm sorry about that, but it's the story of, it's the idea of when you go on a long trip and you have to stop over on the plane because the second plane you have to get to, but then you have to stop over the night to get to the next plane and you have to wait there that night. You're going to the holiday destination. When you stop over in the terminal or at the hotel for that one night stopover, you don't unpack all your stuff. You don't unpack your bags. You don't get set up. You don't put everything in the cupboards there. You wait until you get to your holiday destination where you're going to relax. You don't do it at the stopover place. And this world is a stopover. This world's a stopover to our real home. And that's heaven. That's the life to come. But we too often can start unpacking now and getting settled now and investing in the now. But this is a stopover. It's not the home that we're going to one day have. And we need to be careful to not be like that. And that's just a helpful way for me to picture how I should be living in this world. Don't get settled. Don't think that this is my home, but invest into eternity. There's something far greater to come. And then as well in Hebrews chapter 11, just across the chapter, we'll just read a couple of verses there, talking about the heroes of the faith. And it summarizes some of them in verse 13 to 16, saying, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. It just shows that this world is not our home. And as well, I think an amazing thing with those heroes of the faith there is they lived in tents. They lived in tents, which would have been a good reminder for them that this is not their home. They were moving around. Abraham moved around often. And this world was not their home, and we need to be reminded of that and remember that. And finally, what will help us remain in Christ and endure to the end so we please him? Well, I think we need to remember that nothing can compare to Jesus. And when you've seen that through the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, nothing compares to Christ. And then as well, nothing compares to his kingdom. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 12. Throughout the end part of Hebrews chapter 12, after it's talked about some of the importance of discipline, he goes on and talks about kingdom that cannot be shaken and summarizes in verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, something that is far greater than anything we will see here, and we need to remember that. Nothing compares to Christ, but as well, nothing compares to the kingdom we will receive. We have a home, Christ promises. We have a home and that he's gone to prepare, a place he's gone to prepare for us, and we need to remember that. And it's something I've been, as well, something I've been challenged by in the Psalms the last few months, and particularly this one song that I really love from a guy that really summarizes some of this from the Psalms, is that there is no one like our God. None can compare to him, some of the psalmists say. In Psalm 113, verse 5, it says, who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high? Who is like him? And Psalm 86, verse 8 says, there is no one like you. Psalmist talking to God. And in Psalm 40, verse 5, it says, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare to you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. None can compare to God. And as well, there in that passage, none can compare to the mighty works he has done. Who is like the Lord our God? None can compare to him. We need to remember that. And if we remember that, it will help us not get caught by the many things that this world will offer and the many things that may stop us enduring and pursuing him. There's so much that can trap us. But remember, there is none like God. No one, nothing and no one worth treasuring more than him. We need to remember that. There's none that compare to him. And a way for me I find helpful to know, is there something that I am treasuring more than Christ, is to know, what would I be like if I lost that thing? Would I be able to go on living? How would I go on living? Would I? If I wouldn't go on living, if I had struggled to go on living, then maybe it's becoming an idol. We need to be checking that in our lives. So I hope you can be encouraged by some of these things. These are things that, as I said, have helped me over the last few years, that I've been reminded through from you and many others as well, that have helped me endure, helped me to remain in Christ. And I hope they will do the same for you. My desire is that you all remain. I long for that. And as well, I said to the youth on Friday, I look forward to, in the years to come, seeing how God is using you. One day using you for his glory and already now, but just to the youth, who knows what they will be doing in the years to come. And I look forward to that. The end of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's all of us who are saved. And I look forward to the good works that he's prepared for you to do. And I look forward to hearing about that in the future. I long for you all to endure and remain. And I want to close with a poem. It's by C.H. Studd that I really like. And I think it's very fitting, the verses, for what we've talked about and what I want to encourage for you. And it's you'll hear the two lines repeated throughout it. So hopefully you'll remember those two lines. The poem, it goes like this. Two little lines I heard one day, travelling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat, only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding my selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a brief few years, each with its burdens, hopes and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with further burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bring thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. I love that poem just because of those lines that keep nailing it home. And I couldn't hear them enough because I too often forget that. I too often get bogged down by this life. And it scares me because it makes me think I might not endure when I get bogged down. It makes me think I might show myself to not really be one of God's. But we have a faithful God. We do have a faithful God. And I hope you remember that. But as well remember, we need to endure. And we need to endure to the end. And I hope you'll see that it's only what he's done for him, for his glory, that will last. And continue to seek that. But I do want to thank you again. Thank you to this church for how you've helped me to remain in Christ, helped me to endure. And as well, all that you've done for me, for my family, for me and Grace, my extended family as well, all that you've done for my parents, my sisters over the many years. There's many of you that I could name, but you know who you are. You've helped us in so many ways through all the struggles we've been through, through tough times, and you've been there. And we thank you. I know my parents would say that as well, but we thank you for all that you've done. It has not gone unappreciated. And that's why I do long for you to endure as well. And I'll be praying for you. I'll be keeping you in my prayers that you will endure. You will remain. Please keep remaining in Christ. Keep leaning on his word and continue on in prayer as you have been doing so well as a church. And keep it up because he's worthy of it. And in the end, one day we will see that all the remaining and enduring we have done was worth it. We will one day realize that. Let's pray. Father, I do commit these dear friends into your safe and loving arms, and we thank you for the faithful God that you are, that you will keep what we have committed to you, and that you are able, Lord, that you are a faithful God, that you are strong above all the powers of this world. And we just pray that you would help us to persevere, that you would preserve us to the end. And I do pray for this church, Lord, that you would continue to keep them focused on your foundation of the word as they have been, and that this would help them endure to the end. And I pray that you would use them mightily for your work as you have been. Continue to grow them and help them to remain in you. And I just, pray that you would help us all to endure to the end and help us to long for that day where we'll be together with you in eternity. And I just, pray that we would all be there one day, and that you would help us to remain, help us to continue, and pray that we would be alongside one another and be doing all these things that will help us to remain. And we just thank you for this, and we pray that we would do this for your glory, but as well see that it will be for our good and that it will be all worth it in the end. And we thank you for the great promises you have given us, and the great hope of eternity with you that we have. And we thank you for this in your name.